Title: Swing Matching Between Two Sampled Breaks Beginner. Alright, welcome in. Today we're doing one of the most important little secret weapons moves in drum and bass, swing matching between two sampled breaks in Ableton Live. Because here's the deal. In Jungle and D10B, breaks are basically living organisms. One break might have that classic immense style push and shuffle, and another one might be cleaner and straighter. And if you just stack them without fixing the groove, you get flams, weird push-pull, and that two drummers arguing vibe. Not the good kind. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a leader break that sets the pocket, a follower break that's been reshaped to match it, and a clean layered result that actually hits together. Then we'll turn it into a simple 8 to 16 bar rolling drum arrangement with a little movement. Let's do it. First, session set up so it immediately feels like DNB. Set your project tempo somewhere between 172 and 176 BPM. I like 174 as a default. Now create two audio tracks. Name the first one break leader and the second one break follower. Then drag your two break samples into arrangement view. Arrangement view is just easier for this because you're going to be zooming, aligning, consolidating, and checking bars. Quick concept check. Break A, the leader, is the groove you want to steal. Break B, the follower, is the one you're going to bend into that pocket. Now step 1. Warp both breaks correctly. This part is not glamorous, but it's the foundation. If your downbeat is wrong, everything downstream is wrong. Click break A. In the clip view, turn warp on. Set the seg BPM to something close to what the break actually is. Now find the true downbeat. Usually it's the first solid kick that really feels like one. When you're on that transient, right-click and choose warp from here, straight. Now choose a warp mode. For full breaks, Complex Pro is often the cleanest for tone, but it can get a little watery or smeary on older noisy breaks. So if Complex Pro feels like it softened the punch, switch to Complex. A lot of the time, Complex feels more aggressive and more D&B friendly. Now do the same for break B, but be extra strict about the downbeat. Find the Riddle one, right-click, and choose set 1.1.1 here. Then warp from there so it loops evenly. Here's your first checkpoint. Both clips should loop perfectly for one bar or two bars without drifting. If one starts sliding off the grid by the end of the loop, stop and fix the warp before you go further. Groove matching can't save a drifting loop. Step 2. Make sure both breaks are the same loop length. Swing matching is way easier when both clips represent the same musical phrase length. Decide if you're doing a one-bar loop or a two-bar loop. Two bars is super common, because a lot of classic jungle phrasing resolves over two bars. Turn loop on for each clip, and set the loop braces to exactly one or two bars. Make it precise. If needed, consolidate. In arrangement view, highlight the exact region and use CMD or Ctrl J to consolidate, so you have a clean chunk. Now step 3. Extract groove from break A, the leader. This is where we steal the pocket. Select the break A clip. In clip view, right-click and choose extract groove. Then open the groove pool. You'll see a groove template appear, usually named after the clip you extracted from. What just happened is Ableton analyzed transient timing and created a groove map from it. That groove map is basically where this break likes to put its 16ths. Quick coach note, pick your swing source intentionally. It's not always the cooler break. Sometimes a break has amazing hats, but the snare placement is a little awkward. If you extract groove from that, it can pull your follower break's backbeat into a weird spot. A good rule is, let the break with the best snare placement be the leader, even if its hats are kind of boring. You can still keep the other break's texture without letting it dictate the pocket. Also, transient detection quality matters. If break A has loads of hiss, crackle, or fizzy top, Ableton might see a million microtransients, and the extracted groove can come out jittery. If that happens, here's a nice workaround. Temporarily put an EQ on break A and low pass it a bit, like around 10 to 14 kHz, just so the detector focuses more on the core hits. Or duplicate the clip, do the groove extraction on the duplicate, and keep your original untouched. You're just trying to feed Ableton cleaner information. Step 4. Apply the extracted groove to break B, the follower. Select break B. In clip view, find the groove chooser and select the groove you extracted from break A. Now, don't just slam it and pray. Dial in the groove parameters. Start with timing around 70 to 100%. If it starts sounding drunk or sloppy, back off to 60 to 80. Random should be low, like 0 to 5%. D&B can be human, but it needs to be tight. Velocity can be optional, maybe 0 to 20% if break B feels too flat dynamically, but don't overdo it or the layer will get inconsistent. For bass, 1/16 is usually the right world for DNB swing. That's where a lot of that rolling push-pull lives. But keep in mind, the snare often anchors the bar, where matching feel without losing the backbeat. Here's a fast way to work like a pro. Duplicate the break B clip a few times and commit different timing values as separate presets, like 1 at 65, 1 at 80, 1 at 95. Rename them something like B groove 65, B groove 80, B groove 95. That way you can slash B quickly instead of endlessly tweaking one clip and forgetting what you liked. Step 5. Commit the groove so it becomes real timing. This is important. If you just leave it as a groove applied, it can behave differently later when you resample or chop. So go into the groove pool, click the groove, and hit commit. Depending on your live version, you might also have a commit option in the clip view. Either way, you want break B to physically move. Now do an immediate slash B test. Solo break A, then solo break B, then play them together. Listen for the snare alignment first. Then listen to hats and coasts. Do they feel like they're dancing together, or do you hear constant little flams? Now step 6. Fix any remaining flams with transient-aware warp markers. Even with groove matching, you can still get micro-flams, because different breaks have different transient shapes. One break might have a pre-transient, like a tiny click or a ghost hit just before the main smack. So you're going to do a quick anchor audit. Zoom in on the snares. Typically, you're checking the snare on beat 2 and beat 4, if it's that kind of break. On break B, add warp markers right on the snare transients and nudge them so they line up with break A's snare hits. And when I say nudge, I mean tiny. 1 to 10 milliseconds can completely change the impact. You're not trying to rewrite the performance, you're just eliminating that double hit feeling. A helpful trick: temporarily set break B's warp mode to beats while you do these micro edits, with preserve set to transients. That keeps the edges punchy while you align. After you're done, you can switch back to complex or complex pro if it sounds better as a full break. Rule of thumb: snare is the anchor in rolling DNB. Let hats and ghost notes breathe. If you hard quantize every transient, you'll erase the funky stuff that makes sampled breaks worth using in the first place. Another quick coaching trick for judging microtiming: at a very quiet reference layer, make a simple MIDI track with a closed hat playing straight 1/16. Keep it low in volume, just a guide. Toggle it on and off. If your layered breaks feel great against straight 16ths, you've probably got the pocket right. If it feels like the breaks are constantly tripping over the hat grid, you may have over-applied swing or anchored the wrong elements. Step 7. Layer cleanly with phase and frequency discipline. Once timing is matching, the next problem is, does it hit hard or does it just get messy? Put an EQ8 on each break track. Breaks usually don't need sub, so consider high passing one or both around 80 to 120 Hz to keep your sub bass clean. Then decide roles. Maybe break A keeps more of the character mids, and break B gets carved a little, so they don't both fight in the same boxy area. A small dip around 250 to 450 Hz on one break can reduce that cardboard buildup. Then add drum bus subtly. Drive maybe 2 to 8%. Boom off, or very low, because you don't want fake low-end fighting your real sub. If you want more snap, bring transients up around plus 5 to plus 15. But don't go crazy. Then add utility. If the stereo image is causing blur, narrow one break slightly. Try width around 70 to 90% on one layer so the transients feel more centered. Now do a phase and mono sanity check. Put a utility on your drum group or master drum bus and toggle mono briefly. If your snares suddenly vanish or get thin in mono, your layers are fighting. Fix it by slightly adjusting timing on one layer, or by changing EQ so they're not competing in the same frequency pocket. Step 8. Group and add bus processing for glue. Select both break tracks and group them. Name it something like drum break bus. On the group, add glue compressor. A nice starting point. Ratio 2 to 1. Attack 1 to 3 milliseconds. Release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds. Aim for just 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction. You're not trying to crush the groove, you're trying to make it feel like one drummer. Optionally, a saturator after that. Soft clip-on. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB. That can add density and make the snare feel more aggressive without stacking more samples. Then EQ if needed. Tiny adjustments. Be careful with brightening. Overbright jungle breaks get harsh fast. Step 9. Build a simple 16-bar rolling arrangement with variation. Here is an easy structure that sounds real without needing a million edits. Bars 1 through 4. Both breaks playing, full. Establish the groove. Bars 5 through 8. Keep it going, but on bar 8 beat 4, mute breakbeat just for that moment. It creates a micro drop that your brain reads as movement. Bars 9 through 12, bring breakbeat back, but filter it slightly for tension. Put an auto filter on breakbeat, set it to LP24, and automate the cutoff down a bit across those bars. Bars 13 through 16, add a quick fill. Keep it simple, you can duplicate a snare slice. Do a tiny 1/8 roll, or use beat repeat on the group for just one bar. Very subtle. The goal is variation that keeps swing intact. If you want an arrangement upgrade later, you can build energy by swapping between your committed groove versions. Like start with B groove 65, then move to B groove 80, then touch B groove 95 for a more intense section, then drop back. That's progression without adding more elements. Before we wrap up, let's hit a few common mistakes so you can avoid them. Mistake 1. Warping from the wrong downbeat. If 1.1.1 is wrong, groove extraction will be nonsense. Fix the one first. Mistake 2. Overcommitting swing. Timing at 100% isn't automatically better. DNB often wants controlled tightness. Mistake 3. Aligning every transient. You'll kill the ghost notes and the breathe of the break. Mistake 4. Ignoring phase. Even perfect swing matching can sound weak if the layers cancel. Mistake 5. Too much random. A tiny bit can help. Too much turns your drums into jelly. Now a quick mini practice exercise you can do right after this lesson. Pick two different breaks, one shuffled, jungle-ish, and one straighter and cleaner. Set tempo to 174. Warp both to clean two bar loops. Extract groove from your leader break and apply it to the follower. Then duplicate the follower clip and commit three versions, timing at 60, 80, and 100. Pick the one that feels best, group them, add glue for 1 to 3 dB of reduction. Add drum bus lightly, and arrange 8 bars with a small variation every 2 bars. Export quick bounces and label them clearly. Break swing match 60, break swing match 80, break swing match 100. This audio version is shortened for playback.